to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
I thank God for the opportunity to serve Him as I encourage His children through the radio ministry that He has opened for me at this moment. I don't take it for granted. I take this opportunity with a lot of reverence and with a lot of gratitude unto God, my Savior. He is very gracious. And even as this opportunity opens, it's my prayer and my desire that through this new venture, God will minister to His children every day. It's my prayer that He's going to draw many unto Himself, that He's going to bring healing, and He's going to touch many troubled hearts. God has burdened my heart with this nation. He has burdened my heart with women. He has greatly burdened my heart with the family. It is my prayer that God is going to work in ways that I do not even understand, or ways that I will never comprehend, to accomplish His purposes. It is for this purpose that I want us to pray as we begin this new ministry, as we prepare to look at today's topic. You are here for a purpose, our Heavenly Father. It is true that You do all things well. Father, it is true that Your Lord, Your God, and Your Sovereign over the lives of Your children. You open opportunities. It is You who decides whom to call. It is You who decides whom to use. As this program begins to air, we pray that You'll have the preeminence. Lord, we pray that Your presence will be real, that You'll minister to the needs of Your children. Lord, those who are hurting in different ways, those who are discouraged, You will lift them on a daily basis. You're going to put Your arms of grace round about them. You will draw them to Yourself. You'll encourage them. You will put a new spring in their steps. And Lord, they will gain strength again to serve You. So guide us today as we begin. I pray that this which is beginning today shall spring forth by the power of Your holy name, to go far and beyond what man could have ever thought or imagined. Lord, I pray that it shall have far-reaching effects, that one day when we finally stand before Your holy throne of grace, we can bow in honor, we can bow in gratitude again as we see what You have done. So begin with us and take this program wherever You want it to go. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. You are here for a purpose. That is our topic as we begin this new radio broadcast. I would like to let you know that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over His children, and He's also sovereign over the plans and the lives of His children. And not only is God sovereign, but God is a God of order and a God of perfect plan. God is very organized. He decides when to raise people into ministry, and He also decides whom to raise into ministry. It is God who dictates whom to serve, who is going to serve Him in whichever capacity. God works in very interesting ways, that He actually moves from generation to generation to draw men and women unto Himself, those who will serve Him and fulfill His purposes. He actually walks from community to community, from home to home, as He recruits, as I can say, those who will serve Him in today's world. And it is not a mistake that God tells us in His word, that is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are His workmanship. He has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has ordained beforehand for us to walk in. Why should I say that? If I would have told you, or rather, if you would have told me, let me rephrase that, some years back, that I would actually be serving God in radio ministry, it is very obvious you would find me in the company of Sarah, Abraham's wife. You would find me hiding behind a door, chuckling and laughing. Like Sarah would be like, who? Me? No way. You know, when God called Moses to lead the children of Israel to the promised land, Moses had very different excuses with which I can also identify even as I begin this new radio ministry. If you look at the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto God, oh my God, I am not eloquent, neither am I even a spokesman. He said, I am slow of speech. I have a slow tongue. Moses was actually looking at God and telling him, Lord, I know you formed me, but please just pardon your servant. I don't have the eloquence that other people have. My speech is slurred. It is slow. Who can dare listen to me? And you know what? I have said those very words and even much more to God. I have told God, I'm not eloquent. I've told him, Lord, look, I even have an accent. Will anyone hear what I'm trying to say? And even if they heard, will they understand? But you know what? God has reminded me over and over that he's not looking for the eloquent. He's not looking for the most polished either. He is only looking for servants. God is looking for those who can labor faithfully in his vineyard. And that is the only reason he could go down and choose somebody like me and say, my finger is rounding about you and calling you to myself that you may serve me in this capacity. Many times, God has actually taken me to his own word as I have wrestled with him over this ministry. He's taken me to his word in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, all the way to 29. I would like us to read this scripture together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, verse 25 to 29. The Bible says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses the lowly things of this world to accomplish his work. He uses some schemes, he uses certain methods, he uses formulas that no human being in his right mind can comprehend. And the reason he gives us in the very last verse that we have read, so that no flesh can glory in his presence. In fact, this moment you may be listening and you find yourself exactly in the same position. You're wondering, you're also wrestling and fighting even the very call and the nudges that God is putting in your heart. You may be asking, who? Me? Who am I? Who will listen? And even if they were to listen, how on earth can someone like me do that for God? But as the finger of God begins to point to the work he's calling you to, God will also allow you to begin to see the needs that are surrounding you. He will put that nudge deep within your heart and he will begin to cultivate a desire. He will begin to work right from the inside and build you to a point and a place where you can actually do his work. Remember, it is not you who is calling yourself. It is God's finger that is rounding your heart and wooing you unto himself. So don't put that off. That is God's finger of grace. In fact, it is an honor to be counted worthy of the gospel of Christ. It is an honor for God to call you to minister in any capacity unto Him. There is a verse that I really like in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible tells us it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God has a way of working in you when He's calling and wooing you unto Himself and unto His service, to the extent that He even gives you desires. Sometimes you think they are your own desires, but as you step into His work, you begin to realize, wow, God was actually working it in me. And not only was He working, but He gave me the desire. He gave me the willingness. He gave me the aptitude to finally step up and serve Him. So you are God's workmanship. Allow God to work in you. You are here for His own purpose. Allow God to shape and to mold you into that very vessel that is going to bring fulfillment, that is going to bring joy and pleasure to God. You are here for His own purpose. And it is for this very reason that God is actually looking at you and telling you, yes, you are the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. I want you to remember that you are only fitting into God's plan. As we have already said, it is a real honor to be handpicked of God into God's service. There is no greater joy that you will have than knowing that, yes, I am fitting into God's eternal plan and I'm serving it right where He wants me to serve in the capacity that God wants to serve me. God uses whoever He desires. In the year 2001, God put our feet on a totally different path that has transformed our lives up to today. While we were teaching in a girls' boarding school back in Kenya in 2000, we met Dan and Sarah Bean from Marshalltown in Iowa. On that particular Sunday we met Dan and Sarah, they had actually followed singing that had led them to the school assembly hall where over 700 girls were singing praises unto God. We had gathered that morning for a Sunday service. You can imagine the sound of over 700 students singing hymns exuberantly with all of their hearts and their hands raised unto God. It was irresistible. In fact, on this particular day, Dan and Sarah were headed to a local church. But because of the singing and the joy that they felt oozed through that singing, they decided to follow it up to the assembly hall where we were on that day. And on that particular Sunday morning, the girls raised their voices and sang, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made." The very particular time they stepped at the door, the girls had gotten to the chorus, hands were up in the air, and the praises rang. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." They stepped in, and of course, in our own capacity as leaders of the Sunday service that morning, my husband Charles and I also stepped out to welcome them in. And that very day, God initiated or began a fellowship, a friendship that we did not know where it could lead. It is only by the working of God. Dan and Sarah continued to visit. After that service, almost every evening they came to our house. And they continued to come for the Sunday service every week. they began to show a lot of interest in the work that we did. Charles and I were fully involved in missionary work. Together, we were very committed to ministering to different students in high schools, in colleges. We also taught in different churches. And we were part of the ministries that were around that area. Remember, this was a big mission station. The girls' school where we taught at the moment was only one of the institutions within the mission station. Dan and Sarah began to also accompany us on those mission trips. We went with them to schools, we went to them with them to different churches. And then in 2001, after Dan and Sarah had come back to United States and also come back to Kenya maybe two or three times, they posed a very interesting question to us. They asked us, would you consider going to Iowa for 4 months to help revive the work of God in our local church? Of course, this question took us by surprise. We had no plans of leaving our own country. Besides, we were so busy and happy with the ministry work in which we were fully involved. But even of greater concern was something else that nobody else knew except just Charles and I. You know, to leave the teaching job where we had been for 12 years would have actually meant we were going to totally lose our jobs if we were to come to Iowa for 4 months and return home. In Kenya, government jobs are very rare, they are precious, and they are really coveted. So we would be replaced within no time, and we would have no guarantee of ever being employed again. But why would that be of such great concern? You see, for some people, being invited to go to the United States of America was an opportunity of a lifetime. It would have been an opportunity of a lifetime. That is something that so many people covet. They long for that. But why would we even be wondering whether we should or we shouldn't go? You see, my husband was raised in a very poor home. Many were the days when my husband, together with his family, went for days without food. They would wake up in the morning and find there was no breakfast, yet they had gone to bed hungry. There would be no lunch, and neither could there be supper for that day. And there were times when the process repeated itself 2 days, 3 days. They had learned to try and just eat whatever their teeth could actually chew on because of the very, very extreme level of poverty in which they lived. They scrambled for whatever their hands could lay on. And you see, now my husband was married with three children. We had three children. The thought of him leaving his family to go through the excruciating pains and pangs of hunger that he had gone through and had become so familiar all of his life, those thoughts were unbearable. At the same time, how was he going to support his parents and his siblings? In fact, some of Charles' siblings had to drop out of school. There was totally no money to even take them through elementary and middle school. They could only afford to take one person to school, and that was my husband, Charles. So this meant after Charles acquired a job, we had to go back and rescue everybody else. We had to take everybody else back to school. We had to support the families of those who were already married. But you know, even as we wrestled with this decision, God continued to nudge our hearts. And we told ourselves the best we can do is pray and seek God's guidance concerning the future of our work and the future of our children. So we prayed and prayed and also prayed. But as we prayed, we also began to do a little bit of research. as we continued looking at whether to come to the United States or whether to remain at home, we found out, or we were actually very startled to discover that in the year 1901, God had stirred the hearts of three young men from Marshalltown, Iowa. He had put in them to leave Marshalltown, Iowa, and go to Africa to begin a mission station. To our astonishment, these three young men, despite every other place that was available, had actually put up a mission station at Kaimosi in Kenya. And this was the exact same place where we now taught, at Kaimosi Girls High School, which was only one of the many institutions within the mission complex. We were perplexed. One afternoon, as we pondered over these facts, we decided to walk around the mission station. To our surprise and confirming the findings we had actually found in our little research, we found the graves of these three young men. They had left Iowa in 1901. They had established the mission station. They had lived sacrificially. They had left everything they had. And finally, they gave up everything they ever owned and died in Kenya. They were buried in Kenya. God struck our hearts with that. He really challenged us. They left it all so that we could know the Lord Jesus Christ. They sacrificed their daily provisions. They sacrificed their luxuries so that we could gain Christ in Kenya. We could hear the gospel. But above that, God turned it around and challenged our hearts and told us, think about my own son. He also left it all. He was mighty. He was lofty. He was enthroned in heaven above. He was seated at the right hand of God the Father. But you know what? He did not consider being in the form of, even though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being right to be equal with God. As Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 tells us, he actually made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, and he was even made in the likeness of man. Left heaven, came on earth, decided to take on the likeness of man. And you know what? Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God challenged us. I gave it all for you. What can you not give for me? Christ gave it all that we would have eternal life. What was a job that would hold us from what he was calling us unto? So in August of 2001, exactly 100 years from the day the three missionaries brought the gospel to our people in Kaimosi, Kenya, we crossed the Atlantic Ocean, carrying the exact same gospel back to where it had originated in Marshalltown, Iowa. God worked greatly. In fact, his work is still flourishing up to today in Marshalltown, Iowa. And to complete or to cut the long story short, we went back home in December of 2001. Yes, we had lost our jobs, but God, who works in his own mysterious ways, opened another door. And in 2002 May, the entire family, my entire family, Charles and our three children, moved over here in the United States, and God settled us in South Carolina. You may be listening and wondering, is that a movie story? Is that a myth? No. We are looking at a God who is a God of a purpose. We are looking at God who works in ways that man cannot explain. We are dealing with a God who is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, who is sovereign over the lives of people, who is sovereign over the lives of his own children. We are looking at a God who has a purpose for you and for me in the world today. We've already said he moves in generations. He moves through nations. He moves through different communities, through different families to pick out people, to call those who will want to serve him. He builds them. He molds them. And mark you, anybody who has an interest, anybody whose heart is inclined towards working with God, God has the power to mold, to change, and to help you become a servant. Let me share with you one more scripture here. John chapter 15, verse 16. This is a scripture that God used to really still my heart, to calm my heart and to get me into his work. For me to really believe that I am here for God's purposes and that it was God who was pulling me and drawing me into his work, just the way he may be doing to you today. John chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." As you listen, and as maybe you struggle in your own heart, where do I fit in? What is my purpose? Is it true that God is looking at me and telling me, yes, you are here for my purpose? I want you to remember, you are not choosing God. Naturally, we all tend to run away from God. Man has that same tendency from the Garden of Eden to run and to hide from God. But you are God's workmanship. You are chosen of God. You are here to serve the purposes of God. I want to firmly to tell you this evening, when God wanted a man or a woman who would serve his purposes in this century, he created you. You are God's workmanship. You are chosen of God. You are here to serve the purposes of God. And let me reinforce it. When God wanted a man or a woman who would serve his purposes in this century, he created you. Follow him. Let us bow down and pray together. Father, thank you for those who are listening at this time. Father, I want to thank you for those who are struggling with decisions in their hearts, those who are wondering how to fit in, whether they can serve you or not. Father, those who are disqualifying themselves even from your finger of love that is still cycling and surrounding and nudging and drawing them unto yourself. I pray that you'll give them that courage, you'll give them that peace, you'll give them that assurance. May you calm their hearts. Speak to them in accents very clear and still that they will know you are speaking to them by name. Lord, strengthen. Open their eyes to see what you're calling them unto. Give them strength and courage. May you establish your work even as we begin this new ministry. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AMILIAHKENYA.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.